this point, we'll end up starting with this public hearing. Nick will provide us with an overview, then we'll have some consultants who make remarks and have public comment before we move on, just so that you understand what item three will entail.
So Steve, you mentioned in an email that we could have a discussion about the public hearing. If we wanted to, should we put that in the agenda?
I think you could just informally talk about it after the public hearing if you want to, and we'll just reflect that in a minute. So there was some discussion after.
We have a motion on the agenda.
I motion to approve it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Madam Chair, I just remind commissioners that use the microphones possible, because it's a little hard to hear in this room. I'm sorry, we don't have one for everybody, but you can just share. Yeah, you can let it for now. We may have some staff members coming, but you can use it now if you'd like.
This one's quick.
We can share.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
All right, so.
Do you want to kick us off, Nick?
Yes, Nick Allen's going to do our presentation for the public hearing.
Good evening, Vice Chair and Commissioners. Tonight, the public hearing is in regard to the City of Lake Forest Park Shoreland Master Program periodic update. This is, in fact, a joint City and Department of Ecology public hearing. A lot of you guys have seen this information before. We're going to run through it again for the purpose of the hearing. So what is the Shoreland Master Program? Calling it the SMP. The SMP is a set of policies and regulations required by state law. It has three basic principles: to protect the environment and the resources of state shorelines, to promote public access and enjoyment opportunities, and to give priority uses that require a shoreline location. Back in 2013, the city updated the Shoreland Master Program. The Shoreland Master Program is, in fact, part of the Municipal Code in Title 16 and Chapter 18 is where you'll find it. So where does the Master Program apply? It applies to shorelines of the state and water bodies that meet certain criteria. So for Lake Forest Park, this is Lake Washington. The jurisdiction also includes lands within 200 feet of the water body. It also has includes associated wetlands and floodplains. So graphically, you can see the jurisdiction represented here on the map, and those properties identified in the highlighted area. So what is the SMP periodic update? So the state requires that all Shoreland Master Programs be reviewed every 8 years. The periodic review is intended to keep the program current with amendments to state law, changes in local plans and regulations, or new and improved data and science as it becomes available. What this update will not do is reevaluate the ecological baseline that was established as part of the 2013 update. So we're not going to go back and take a look at that stuff. And it will also, it won't change the jurisdiction itself or any of the environmental designations.
Sure.
So, Nick, when does the baseline get reevaluated?
Most likely, they haven't identified when, just as this part, just for this particular part, they're not going to do that. So. They haven't identified when, as far as I know.
So that was done in 2013. That was when we had established our first local SMP. We had been using King County. So I guess the ecology didn't feel like that was in need of updating at this point, but they could call for that at a future update in the next 8 years. But we don't know at this point. But our consultant, Dan Nickel, will be here a little bit. He's running a little bit late, and so is Maria.
Sorry.
And there he is. Okay, why don't you step, have a seat up here at the table, but then let us come back to that. Let's just see what other questions you have. Okay.
Before you move on from this, Nick, will you help us understand, just reading this graph? I don't want to make an assumption that I
So, maybe Dan could speak about what the graphic means here. It's my understanding that the baseline is represented by sort of the half division there, and it looks like
Does it imply that any of the changes are only going to make improvements to there are no net losses then?
So it looks like maybe Dan, you can talk about that.
So I can turn
watershed
to
presentation actually.
So that midline is meant to be the baseline condition that was measured actually back in the comprehensive update, which was done in 2010. That established the existing condition from which all future impacts are measured from. And so the state law just says we have to maintain our current condition at baseline. We can't allow the shoreline to get worse, basically, the ecological functions to get worse. And so with this, the area in green on the right shows the effects potentially of the restoration projects. We aren't mandated to restore the shoreline, but if we do, if there are restoration projects that come about that can improve overall function across the shoreline, then we might have a net benefit. That's what that's trying to show. But we can't allow ourselves to go below that line. We do have to acknowledge that there's things like, you know, continued degradation, or there's going to be some unpermitted activities that go unmitigated. And so those can tend to bring your, you know, the ecological functions down. And so the state recognizes that, you know, restoration actions can help maintain and counter that. You know, the area in red is intended to look at, you know, ways in which we might degrade our conditions. And the area on the right, ways we can balance that out. But it's important to recognize that restoration in and of itself is not mandatory.
And should we go back now and address Richard's question about what would trigger just looking at a whole inventory of shorelands again?
What would trigger to do that again?
Could ecology say that at the next mandatory update we need to do that?
So far, from what I've heard from ecology, that's not the case. So every 8 years, we have to look at doing this periodic review. There isn't any funding out there right now on the horizon to look at doing a more comprehensive update review. And from what I've heard from ecology is that this periodic process will take another look at this, and we won't be asked to come back to the table to look at that inventory. Now, I will say that we have heard from some groups out there, some of the tribes, some of the other groups like FutureWise. They are interested in the state trying to, you know, have jurisdictions look at this question, you know, because essentially, because the state requires us to achieve no net loss, ultimately jurisdictions are going to have to show their work. At some point in time, we're going to be asked to document how did we achieve it or not. And so I think that's going to come. I don't know when. Yes, it could happen 8 years from now. The state could say, yes, we want you to show your work. So I don't think that means going back and redoing the inventory. It just means going back and looking at what types of activities have happened since 2010, essentially. And has the city done a good job at mitigating that and maintaining that baseline condition?
Does this apply to private residents also? I mean, as far as maintaining their shoreline in front along the lake? So you said it's not mandatory, but if it's being degraded, does somebody come along and force them to upgrade the
shoreline? That's a really good question. So it does apply to private and public across the shoreline. And so, you know, we're continued degradation tends to occur on shorelines like we have here along Lake Washington. It tends to be with a bulkheaded condition where, you know, there's erosion that continues to happen with wave action, and some of that shoreline material gets washed away, and that has been shown to lead to continued degradation of the shoreline. Now, the state's not going to come in, the city's not going to come in and say you as a property owner need to address that degradation, because that's part of a natural process that's occurring. The only real time in which, you know, the city or the state may come in is if there's a violation, an activity that's taken place, some form of development that's happened that's not been permitted.
Thanks,
Dan.
Sure.
Excellent. A gap analysis was done by the dance company to identify where the code was short in terms of the amendments. The report addressed consistency with the state legislative amendments, current critical areas regulations, and ecology's best available science recommendations, comprehensive plan and municipal code updates, and then any other additional issues to consider. And so that particular gap analysis, I think, is included in your packet there for you to take a look at. So the specific amendments, the proposed to change some of the definitions, updating them to be consistent with those in the state law, looking at some of the exemptions and updating some of the development and residential cost thresholds, and then ADA allowances per state law. Looks at amending some of the cross-references and adding cross-references with other state and local regulations. And then it also eliminates the green roof provision, so you used to be able to get a reduction if you had a green roof on your site, and it's going to eliminate that. So some of the other amendments also deal with the critical areas. It's going to adopt by ordinance the most recent critical area regulations in the Lake Forest Park Municipal Code. Currently, there are a set of standalone regulations within the program for critical areas. So the list of exceptions will also be amended. So this is, again, to be consistent with the no net loss provisions. And then in some amendments dealt with wetlands in the shoreline jurisdiction, and revising those buffers, and in most cases they would either stay the same or get smaller. So those would deal with just specifically wetlands within the shoreline jurisdiction. So the timeline, we had an open house back in May 2019, and then you guys were introduced to this last month. Tonight is the public hearing. And then this comment period lasts from September 24th to the 24th of this month. And then we'll send it to Ecology for the initial determination sometime in November. And then hopefully local adoption by the City Council early next year. That's really the gist of it. The updates are pretty insignificant considering the baseline evaluation. So if you have any additional questions or need additional information.
Also just add that Ms. Sanderko from Ecology arrived, so she might be available for questions if there are any. Otherwise, we could just begin the public hearing unless there's any more questions for staff or consultants.
Any questions from the commission? Do we have a sign-up list for public comment?
Since everything's addressed to me, I think I would know, but I have not received any direct comments. We did mail this out to Nick. We're going to need those for the next presentation.
Okay.
For this, right? We did mail that out to like 250 or 300 residents that are in the shoreline area. So we had a fair turnout for the initial open house from residents. So that may have given them a sense of the kind of things that were changing. But we haven't really heard anything since that mailing, like when this comment period started.
And from the original comment period, were there any particular concerns that they had with the revisions?
Not that I'm aware of. And there were no specific concerns.
Another question.
Mm-hmm.
Did we identify any shoreline-dependent uses of properties adjacent to the shoreline here?
Do you... want to address? I mean, we have our the community clubs, the swim clubs, and so they do have a shoreline dependent nature to them. Do we consider those shoreline dependent?
not necessarily, the clubs themselves are probably more of a water enjoyment type of use, but the aspects that go on those properties, things like boat ramps, docks, those are water-dependent features for those properties, similar to a residential property as well. Certain aspects of your development might be water-dependent, meaning it has to be on the shoreline to actually operate and continue, but other aspects might be for water enjoyment purposes or water-related purposes. Those are just different priorities when it comes down to shoreline preference. Water enjoyment is typically something that's more park-oriented, like the clubs. But something that's water-related, it benefits by being near the water, but isn't necessarily essential to be located at the water's edge. Something like that might be a rental shop for paddle boards or something. It doesn't have to be located at the water's edge, but it is associated with the water, so it's a benefit to be there.
We don't have any such properties in the city like Forest Park, do we?
Not to my knowledge that you have. I don't think you have any properties specific to that. I don't know if there's any rental operations that occur sporadically. I don't think there are. But, yeah.
I think there are only residences and one park and two private recreation clubs.
Yeah, that's consistent to my knowledge, too.
So we have one speaker signed up. Mr. D would like to speak. Otherwise, you could just ask if other people wanted to speak as well after him.
Right. Mike, would you like to go first or last?
Sure. Either one.
You can step up to the podium.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Mike D here, Lake Forest Park System. Thank you for the opportunity to comment tonight. In your announcement, you said that this was happening an hour before your Planning Commission meeting, but you made it part of your Planning Commission meeting, and you started your Planning Commission meeting at 6, where it normally starts at 7, so I don't know if you need a special meeting designation for that or not. The attorney's here, so they can answer that for you. Thank you for the binder on the back table with the track changes of the 209 pages that are in that document there. Thank you for having your web page that has all these different things. This October 8th presentation is a little different than the one on May 22nd, but it's pretty close. And a lot of information for the community there, and appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Is there anyone else that would like to comment?
I guess we could close the public hearing and we could move on to other business.
So to that comment, does our meeting officially start at 7, or was the notification that it was starting at 6? Like, was the hearing scheduled from 6 to 7, and then our meeting starts at 7?
The meeting started at 7. People were notified. I mean, the meeting started at 6. People were notified that the public hearing would be, at 6 or later. So I think that, we've given proper notice to people when they could come and speak.
Okay, so I just wanted to double check. There was no expectation that the rest of our meeting was starting at 7.
No, there was no time certain. And I guess if somebody showed up, you could always amend your agenda if they wanted to speak. And that would be up to you.
Okay. Well, then I guess we'll move along. Has everybody had a chance to review the meeting minutes from August 13th and September 10th?
Yeah.
Pardon?
I don't think the calendar for the 10th.
No.
For September 10th.
Yeah.
Steve, can
you
speak to that?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The meeting minutes for September 10th.
The meeting minutes for September 10th are not complete yet, so we'll bring those for the next meeting or send them out to you before the recording of the September meeting is available, though.
And then I was thinking, okay, what did we talk about? Oh, right, that's right. So there were a lot of notes to make from our last meeting. So has everyone had a chance to review August 13th minutes?
I
favor?
Aye.
All those in favor of approving August the 13th meeting minutes as provided? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed say nay.
Did you get the second motion maker on that?
Oh.
Can we just confirm the motion? Who made the motion? Who seconded that?
Ira.
Ira. And then
Mark.
Thank you.
Okay, as far as meeting dates, Steve, feel free to jump in if I misrepresent this at all. But in talking with Joel, Stephen provided us with a kind of a rough draft schedule of upcoming commission meetings, so kind of a proposal of when we would be meeting, and it lays out meeting twice a month, but also a focus for those meetings. And I think we're still a little bit fluid on that. I think we're sticking with our discussion last. Sorry, I'm going to move this so much. As Joel and I talked, we thought it was important to continue on with what we discussed last time, which was tackling the parking garage, the part of the code dealing with parking garages, and then turning our attention to the development agreement process. As we gain some traction on those, we may receive input at our meetings to tee us up for other areas of the code we may want to work on, but that our work will stay focused on those two things until completion, with some understanding that we may be asked to take on a presentation like the Shoreline Master Plan, or be front loaded with some information that might help us grapple with density or open space or setbacks. So I think for now, until that schedule is ironed out a little bit more, we wanted to check everyone's schedule to ensure that you can accommodate two meetings a month between now and the end of the year. And so those first two extra dates are, well, the next two dates of meeting would be October 22nd and November the 12th. Is that something?
I have heard from through an email from a couple of commissioners already about dates they can't make. So that's exactly what I need, just so I can make sure we have a quorum. So you just respond to me with those dates that you're not available, and that'll give us plenty of warning whether we've got an issue.
Okay, so can we calendar the 22nd? Do we have enough information?
I haven't heard that, I've only heard that, I haven't heard that anybody can make the 22nd.
I'm good for both.
So okay. Everybody here is good for the 22nd at this point.
Okay, everybody here, and then we just need to check with Rachel and Joel.
Cool.
Okay. So that sounds, I think we can pencil that in. And then for everyone that's here, is the 12th an okay date for you on November the 12th?
Yes.
Okay. So, Steve, would you be able to follow up with Rachel and Joel?
Certainly.
Okay, super. And then Joel and I'll continue to work later this week and into next to see if we can't iron those out. At the very least, I think we can publish the dates that we've targeted so folks can start scheduling around that. If you just understand that the topics that we'll be discussing will, like I said, be a little fluid based on our progress.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and put, unless I hear in the next week or so, sometime next week, we'll go ahead and put all the dates on just for future reference on the main calendar, because there will be some special meetings.
Perfect. Okay, now is our public comment period for the start of our meeting. We'll have another one at the end of our meeting. Is there anybody here that would like to comment? Mike?
Howdy, Mike D here. Howdy, Mike D here, Lake Forest Park resident, for your record. Thank you for the opportunity to comment tonight. It's about 6:30. On the calendar for the city on their website, it says that your meeting's from 7 to 9 tonight. But if you open up the agenda, then it says you're calling the meeting to order at 6. That might be confusing for citizens, for the public. On your October 22nd proposed date, that does claim conflict with the Park and Rec Advisory Board. That may not affect you all, but that is a concern for the public trying to attend that meeting. Your meeting would conflict with that. That would make that hard for them to attend both of them. on the agenda for this Thursday, the 10th. City Council is talking about the vision, and I'm not sure that you have that on your... I mean, you're talking about the implementation, but I'm not sure if you're talking about the sticky dot activity that the city did recently and the review that's come out. I don't know that it's been publicly released other than as part of the packet for the meeting, but just so you know. Since you're starting early, this may be a special meeting or not. You may be limited on adjusting your agenda. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Anybody else? Julian?
Thanks.
Julian Anderson, Lake Forest Park. Just had one thought as I listened to the SMP presentation, and I have a question for you. I don't have an answer, and just kind of for someone to chew on. In the chart that caused discussion at the beginning, the red and green chart about neural net loss and ecological function. Ecological function was the vertical axis, but there were no units given. So the question would be, if we ever have to show our work, what are the measures of ecological function which have been? How do you measure that? How do you know? It's a result-based standard that there should be no net loss of this function, but there's no clear measure. So I think some long-term thought about how you measure, how you demonstrate the success of the program would be timeless.
Thanks, Julie. Any other comments? Richard, per your thought was, were you asking before about having some discussion on the SMP on your public comment? It just occurred to me that we didn't look back to that.
I was asking in case there was a need for discussion. I don't have a need for discussion. I would like to talk about the comments that we're supposed to.
Yeah, I would too. Is that out of order for what we're talking about? If we jump back in and, I mean, first address?
You're not making any decisions about it, so.
Sure. So is that something you could share with the commission? Speaking to Julian's question, how do we measure success with the SMP?
Well, I wish Julian had asked that question half an hour ago. I think Dan sort of touched on that because what we need to show, we have a kind of a baseline inventory of how things were in 2010, as Dan was saying. And so the next time we analyze that, we will be able to look back at all of the properties that got permits for either activities that were, you have to get a permit even to do an exempt activity in the shoreline. So you apply, you say, yeah, that is exempt, or if it's not, then there's some mitigation that needs to be done. Sometimes you have to go to a public hearing before the city hearing examiner, like TJ did, I think, a few years ago. So all of that, we have a good record of everything that's happened since. And so with most of those permit actions, there is some mitigation required. So we can go back and look at, is that mitigation, has it been successful? And then you factor in the best available science. Well, maybe we should change our standards because, is improving, like one of the things that people who have docks have to do now, they put grating on the docks instead of planks of wood. So that improves the light that goes through to, the wildlife and the plants below the docks. So is that working? And so that's the kind of thing we would do. We just go back and look at all of our permits and see, here's what happened, and, and look at the success rate.
So is that a, go ahead, do you have a question?
Ecology publishes a list of indicators for habitat, shoreline habitat, and no net loss. So I think that it would be some professional judgment as to which of those indicators are applicable to any particular shoreline. But there is a set of indicators that is a starting point as a guide, as a roadmap to how to assess no net loss.
Right, and I'm speaking as a generalist here. I'm sure we would hire a specialist to delve into each, you know, whether things are meeting, whether activities are meeting those criteria.
Are those sorts of guidelines, would those be provided, though, to, say, a homeowner who's making an improvement to the property mm-hmm. so a report would just be a summary of what was done, but it would be an effort to, you know, meet as many indicators as possible, or, like, green building is, I'm just thinking, yeah. Well, there's guidelines for green building, and if you try to hit those marks, are there guidelines mm-hmm. that a homeowner, you know, can look at as a sort of, these are the preferential treatments, even if they're not governed by the regulation?
Well, the homeowner, you know, they need some predictability, so they are required to comply with the regulations that are adopted.
Right.
And so what I thought we were talking about was, when do we assess the regulations, whether they're creating a situation of no net loss? And that would be, that's when you open up the regulations again for review based on a new inventory of what's happened since and what, you know, what's the status of all the properties out there now. And then, you know, you would change based on the determination of, yeah, we have no net loss or we don't. You know, you change the regulations so that the next time somebody comes in, they have a higher standard.
I realize your experts are gone, but it seems like what Julian was asking was, you know, is there some sort of score? Is there, you know, if you do an assessment, you have indicators, but those indicators don't measure by something.
We can get back to you on that because I don't know that there is a score. I'm sure ecology has a way to assess the shorelines, but it's not something that that's static. It's going to be changing over time, just like the shoreline. And so I think that the score, the parameters for which you score a shoreline would change at the time you apply the next level of science, that this is either working or it's not working.
So is it fair to say that currently we would provide a summary that this was the activity, and in a report environment, this is the activity from this date to this date, mm-hmm. and summarize that, what the impacts were, and then we would, you know, kind of cross our fingers and hope for the best that we showed no net loss?
Yeah, we would apply the current regulations right now, and then if an assessment was required at the next 8-year update, you know, then we would do that homework, showing that, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, we look at the permits, that's what I'm saying, we show our work, as Dan was saying.
Presumably, if the results then showed an actual net loss, even though that wasn't the intent, we could indicate that the regulations weren't appropriate for protecting us from no net loss.
Right, that, yeah. you would come to that conclusion. Now, but, you know, just one caveat, if somebody has an extensive project, like they're taking out a long-standing dock, and they, you know, they are required to do some special studies to make sure that it's not going to create a worse situation. So there is some, you know, permit by permit analysis that's done. But generally, you know, they're you know, that's kind of the way regulations work. You comply with the regulations that are on board right now or adopted right now. Can't say, well, wait a minute, we think that you know, we might change the rules in a, you know, a few days, so you know, hold off. But you know, we do that. It's a long process, so it's going to take a while to finish that.
Okay, and then just I guess Mike's question: is there an inconsistency with what's on our website right now? I thought I saw, because I got out of the gym and looked to see if we needed to be here at 6 or 7. I thought it did say 6 o'clock on our website.
I believe it did, but I mean, at this point, you know, we're underway. I guess so. Maybe even the city attorney is our next speaker, so maybe she can speak.
Okay.
And related to that, just so for our understanding, is the rules about the public hearing versus our official meetings, are those supposed to be combined?
You could do it either way. You could have set us up a type, time certain, and then you know, at you know, during, you know, council meetings, where more of the public hearings are held, you know, they're And you don't want them to start, you know, before a certain time. So that's why we said 6 o'clock, you know, notices to the people who are actually affected by these until 6 o'clock.
So the fact that it's within our meeting, it's really more the notice and the time.
Right.
I want to acknowledge I'm on our website right now, and it does say that the public hearing for the Shoreline Master Plan would run from 6 to 7, and that our meeting would run from 7 to 9. I don't know what you do with that. We can press forward, but I did want to acknowledge that that information is out there. So, you know, it makes me feel uncomfortable that we've said one thing and it probably won't matter, but.
Mm-hmm. The notices that are important are the ones that go into the paper and go to the people who are affected by the regulations, and those all said just started at 6. I believe I'll double check that.
With the Shoreline Master.
Yeah,
for the hearing. Well, I guess what I'm saying is on the website currently it says that that hearing would run from 6 to 7 and that our meeting would run from 7 to 9. So I'm just saying anybody who's planning on coming to our meeting at 7 is going, you know, may show up in 18 minutes and say, wait, how come we're starting a meeting already?
Right, so you have another public comment period at the end, so you could, anybody that shows up late, you could address that. And as far as I know, we're not recommending you make any decisions tonight. That's a critical thing.
I have a soft spot for being up front with the community.
Maddie, can I just add one little thing about the previous questions about what's the baseline, how would you assess it? There is a shoreline analysis report from 2007, which at least does some of this stuff. So if you want, you can look on that and get a sense for what's the sorts of things that are being used and that might be used again to assess that. So that's part of it. Yes.
Thanks, TJ. As far as before we move along, Mike's point, since I think I might have been the only person at the council meeting, and I just wanted to mention that they had provided the vision for potential adoption that night or discussion, and through public comment, there was some comment, including my own, that said, you know, that I asked what had the outcomes been of that sticky dot activity and the writing and the comment cards, and they had acknowledged that they didn't have that information yet, and so they would postpone adopting the vision until we could take that information into consideration. I haven't seen anything more about it, but to Mike's point, that I saw on their agenda for this week too, it's a sort of discussion or action, I guess pending more information on whether or not the sticky dot activity confirmed everything that has already been said and there were no changes necessary, or whether they made changes to the vision based on community input. So that's kind of where that stands. Okay, next item.
Madam Chair, if you wouldn't mind, Kim Pratt, the city attorney, and I understand there's some discomfort among some of the members about notices that may have gone out in conflict or that show up on the website right now, so you would be well within your authority to recess the meeting right now, start again at 7, so that all people would have missed. If there is some mix-up about the time, is the first public comment, you would hold another one after 7. And the discussion about meeting dates. So if that would be the most comfortable thing to do, you could just take a break.
Is that something that we would vote on to see if we all are in agreement? I don't want to force everyone else into my...
I think you should vote on it.
Okay. Simple motion.
I'd like to ask the public,
actually.
Well,
I move that we adjourn for 15 minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Here.
Nay.
Nay.
You're the tiebreaker, Steve.
Aye.
That's for to adjourn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. The ayes have it. We'll adjourn for 15 minutes and join back here at 7 o'clock. Nick, did you get all those votes?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Go ahead and have a $20.
Relevant regulations from CTAC on their angle light station. So this is what got built, but there are Okay. Their actual regulations are really graphic intensive that I think the commission might appreciate.
Those are always a lot more helpful.
So, yeah. So I brought this as one more idea to throw in the mix. And, you know, some of it is really good about, like, you know, different treatments to address the massing and the social process.
That's what I brought.
Yeah. So, and then
cool.
We've got Steve Graham downstairs to grab the stuff that we prepared for the EIS.
Yeah.
The garage models and then some different views of the models. So we'll walk through kind of where we left things, I guess.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Well, I had a little technical difficulty.
Oh, yeah?